Thank you, Dave and worship team. Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And that it is good. And the Bible says all the more as the day approaches, we need to be together. Amen. That doesn't mean that we need to have a service every night of the week, because this is the building we call the church, but you and I are the church. We need to be connecting together and spurring one another on all the time. Amen. And that we serve such an amazing God. I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that just loves missions. They loves to reach out and loves to think of others. And I just want to say a huge thank you on behalf of the De Silvas and that the Silvas for your offering that you collected for them. Rockcliffe Church, we raised $1,214 that was sent. That was above and beyond what we thought we would. And we just say a huge thank you for sowing into the work of the Lord. Amen. Oh, maybe you might never make it to where they are, but you're there. Amen? Because the Bible says that we're partakers in it. And so I just really encourage you in that to be generous. And that be generous. This world tells us to be a bit more stingy. It's mine. I worked hard for it. But the end of the day is that's good for the world. But we're in the world, but we're not of it. Amen? And that everything we have is His. And as we become a generous people and we just continue in this generosity and we just look to give and to bless, oh, God just says, wow. He that finds faith with the little, I just want to pour out more. I just want to pour out more. Amen. And so I just want to say thank you for being such a generous church. And that today I want to talk just a little bit about the fact that each and every one of us can hear God. This might be basic 101 for some. Maybe this might be new for others. But I really feel that on the track that we're going to head, we need every single one of us hearing from God. Amen. Because we are better. Thank you, Christina. That's my lovely wife. Christina, would you stand for a moment? Not to put her on the spot, and that I won't make my son stand. My daughters have already gone to the kids program. But I'm just so thankful that God has saw fit to link us together. So if you're new to Rockcliffe Church, welcome. We welcome you. And that this is not my house, it's not your house, it's His house. So everyone's welcome, amen? And that is, we just come and we look to see what the Lord is wanting to do in our lives and through our lives as we come together. But this morning, I want to talk about 10 ways that God speaks. Sometimes we can get so caught up on, well, God did it this way all the time. I'm not sure if you remember when I had come for the weekend, the first weekend I ever came here, I shared about a story that really saddened my heart on one side. But then on the other side, I saw just God and how He came and He broke a chain. We sang that song, that the power that He breaks every chain. Well, remember I shared about one of my really good friends, and she was one of the prayer warriors of our church. She was somewhere in her 70s, and she'd come to a place in her life where she was kind of sad looking a couple weeks in a row. And I went to her and I said, you know, hey, what's up? Because she's always the life of the party. And I'm like, what's going on? Is everything okay? And she says, well, no, Pastor, things aren't okay. And that, do you think you could come and visit me? So I went to have a cup of tea with her. And as I sat down, we got talking about children and life and everything else. Finally, I said, you know, what's been on your heart? She says, well, I haven't been able to pray. I said, what do you mean you haven't been able to pray? She says, well, I can't get down on my knees now because my knees are so bad. And so I can't pray anymore, because God only hears you if you're on your knees. Because she was taught as a child to get on her knees to the bed, and you always bow down at your bed, and you prayed. And she felt like that God only heard her when she was on her knees. Because her knees were bad, now she couldn't talk to God, her best friend. And so at that moment at the table, God just brought some words and we talked a little bit. I shared some scripture. We prayed together and God broke a chain off of her that she could end up talking to the Lord again. Her heart was saddened, and that because she couldn't pray for her grandchildren anymore. And God in one moment turned her sorrow into joy. Took and broke a chain. But she thought she could only talk to God and hear from God one way. God's wanting to break open the fact God doesn't want us to put Him in boxes. God's speaking all the time. The little video we played at the first, if you missed it, you can go onto YouTube, and the song is God is on the Move. God is speaking all the time. The fact that you're here this morning is the fact that God's speaking. Amen? And that the fact that, someone of your neighbor or your friends all of a sudden comes up with a conversation with you and talks a little bit about God, he's on the move. He's doing something. God's constantly speaking and working and doing. The key is for us to quiet ourselves enough, break open the boxes so we don't put them into a box, and we allow God to speak, because he speaks in many ways. He's revealing himself in many ways. So we want to talk quickly about 10 of these ways. Number one, and the most important one that we sometimes push off to the side in a biblical illiterate generation that we're in Canada and North America, statistics say that even though there's 7 Bibles in the traditional North American's home, they're never opened. And I know we have iPhones and iPads and stuff like that and Androids that we flip over and we can look at the Word, and you know what? They are actually amazing. You can highlight, you can write notes about everything. It's great. Amen? So I'm not here saying one's better than the other. You know what? Whatever works is good. Amen? If you're in the Word, that's all that matters. Some people are hard copies and got to have that if you don't have that. Some aren't. It's okay. But the key is God speaks through his Word. The Bible says that his Word is living and it's active. Amen? And that because every day I open up the Word, I'll read a scripture, and then I'll be, wow, I've read that 100 times, but wow, God, whoa, that just connected to where I was. Or that just really gave me some wisdom on what I needed. The very first way that God speaks is through his Word. The Logos, the written Word, and the Rhema, the Spirit Word. And that two different words that God brings to us, and we need them both. But let me give you some help, because in the generation that we live in today with the internet and with all of the things that you can get access to on TV, lots of people are claiming to speak for God and say all sorts of things. But listen, I'll give you the easy help, okay? Easy help on this. If someone says they're speaking for God and it goes against anything in this Word, they're not speaking from God. Because Holy Spirit will never say anything contrary to the Word of God. Amen? Now, if someone turns around and speaks, thus saith God, he's spoken to my heart that, you know what, for this week, every one of us aren't to turn on the internet and whatever. Well, you might not find internet in here, okay? So, but that doesn't mean the Word is wrong. But at the end of the day is as Pentecostals, we believe in one phrase called the bearing of witness, right? Same God that dwells in you dwells in me. Same Holy Spirit, no one has baby Jesus. We all have big Jesus in us, amen? And we all can hear his voice. So when someone's speaking a word into your life, there should be something that bears witness. You might not like it, you know, because it stretches you beyond what you think, or it speaks something that's radical and maybe you don't want to change. But even though we might resist in the flesh, the Spirit's willing, something in our spirit should say, yes. I don't like it, but yes. Because Holy Spirit's constantly inside, dwelling inside of you, and that speaking and that revealing himself and drawing us back to the Word of God. In Psalms 119, 105, it says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. If you're not sure which way to turn, and you need some wisdom, just open up the Word of God. You know, and begin to read. Proverbs is a great book full of wisdom. Great wisdom in there, giving us nuggets to lead us. But listen to me, if I can just stress one thing on my very first Sunday here. The Word of God is everything. It is everything. Everything we will ever do here at Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church will be to bend to the Word. Amen? Because the Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is the revelation of Jesus to us. John chapter 1. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Popular preachers today have been sharing, you know, you can't defend the Word and different things, you know. But at the end of the day is the Word is our rock. that we stand on. And it's one of the ways, and one of the most important ways that Holy Spirit talks to us and reveals to us. Isaiah 45 verse 3 says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. God is revealing himself even in your darkest moment. In fact, when do we really learn and grow the most? Is it in the easy times? No, we usually put it in neutral and we just kind of coast, right? Save a little gas just in case we got a big hill we got to climb soon. But it's in those tough times that all of a sudden we begin to decrease because we come to our end that our money, our energy, our talents, our gifts, they can't quite make it and do it on this event or this moment in front of us. And all of a sudden we lean a little more on God. Say, God, I'm desperate. You know, God's wanting us to be in that moment all the time. Not in a desperation that we're so helpless we can't tie our shoes, but in a desperation that we so desperately want to be in his will. Like Moses says, no, we don't want the promised land if you're not there. We don't want this good thing if it's not good for us. We want your best, and the only way to find his best is to hear his voice by opening the word and to get into it. And allowed the word to get into you. You start to put the word into your heart, guess what flows out of you? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The word will begin to speak out of your life, and it will change everything. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. God knows everything that you're going to face. And as you begin to get into the word, it's a light unto your path, unto your feet. And he will begin to show you, whoa, wait a second here. This thought that I'm about to do, this transaction I'm about to make, or this part here, you know what? And that's you know what? It might be good, but it's not my best. You know, not every promotion is actually God's best for you. Yes, God does advance us. But sometimes the enemy lets us advance because he knows it'll corrupt our heart. It'll go to our head, so to speak. And so not everyone, everything that comes across our path is good. And the only way we will know what is good is to stop and rest in him and say, God, speak to me. Guide me. Is this really what you want for me? Is this really the decision? And some people say, you know, Pastor, do I go so far to say, God, should I wear blue socks or black socks? You know, in the morning, well, you know what? Ask your wife on that one. She'll help you. If you don't have a wife, sorry. You know, then just make a decision. But if God does speak into your heart as you wake up and you put your feet on the ground, as you get out of bed and say, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in God. What do you got for me today? And he says, I want you to wear blue socks. And you're like, blue socks, it doesn't go with my outfit I want to wear. Wear the blue socks. And that, you know, a funny story? True story. And that of a gentleman, he woke up in the morning, blue socks was what God put in his heart. And he's like, blue socks, like, I don't even know if I own a pair of blue socks. He had to go searching, looking everywhere. Well, he's out walking around, and some person stopped him and said, excuse me, are you a Christian? And he's like, yeah. He says, I don't know. I've been praying and I felt like God put in my heart, I need an answer. I need some help with something. And he told me if I was in this place and that he would bring someone with blue socks. You know what? God wants you to be part of an answer to someone. How many people are praying for an unsaved loved one? Amen? Well, we're praying, oh God, please send someone to them if they're not in our home or around us. We're saying, oh God, please give them a word. Well, guess what? There's thousands of moms and dads and grandma and grandpas around outside of Owen Sound that are praying for those that are in Owen Sound. Oh God, please send someone. Please send someone to be that answer. So when it comes to prayer, it's not just God, can you do this? But God, what do you have for me to do? And through his word is one of the ways that he speaks. Holy Spirit, that inner voice of Holy Spirit, and he speaks into our inner being. And sometimes it's through pictures. Sometimes it's through thoughts. Sometimes it's through what I would just say is knowing. knowing that you know. It's kind of hard to explain that one. Kind of like, you know, what was really hard to explain to Pastor Nathan, what it was going to feel like to be a daddy for the first time. It's hard to explain to a young couple what it's going to feel like when you're married and you don't have to stay up until 1 o'clock at night because you got to travel back up to Peterborough to Bible College. And so you spend every waking last second together before you have to go away again, and that longing to get married. It's hard to explain certain things. But one of those things is just called knowing, where all of a sudden Holy Spirit would just bring that bearing of witness that you just know. And that, listen, the majority is not always right. Just because everyone's doing something doesn't mean it's right. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, you know, oh, my goodness, we walk around and we balk everything and that idea. No, not at all. But I am saying is that you can hear his voice. And just because God might say to one person, hey, I don't want you to paint your house green, doesn't mean everyone in here can't paint their house green. God speaks to us, and part of the confusion within our churches today is that a lot of times we're taking our personal words that we don't want to embrace, we don't want to allow to transform us, and we're just pushing them onto someone else. And that's really weighty. That's very dangerous. Because unless God's asked for a specific general call to everyone, then really it's just something he wants to do in me. It's called conviction. And he convicts our heart personally. And that's where some of the confusion comes as we hear from God. And that's where the best thing to do right away when God's speaking in your heart, say, God, is this for me? In fact, it's always good to take every word he says first for ourselves. Amen? Lest we turn around and speak something and then we have to say, you know, please don't do as I do, just do as I say. And how many know that doesn't work so well, right? So we need to embrace what God speaks first for ourselves. And he speaks through his word. He speaks through Holy Spirit. It's like a computer chip. We're connected to Holy Spirit. We're hardwired into him. The moment we ask Jesus in the heart, we get Holy Spirit. Everyone. John 10, 27 to 28, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The picture of sheep, when we think of Israel, you know, we think of shepherds, they were bringing three different groups of sheep into one pen. And this is a what was happening in that going to a trip to Israel and watching what was taking place, went to this farm and there was all these different sheep. And as they came into the place, there was three different shepherds were bringing their sheep in. You know, here in North America, what do? We brand the side of the cattle or whatever so that everyone knows, hey, that's mine. Don't touch it. So that if somehow my cow crosses over to someone else's field, then we already know that's mine. There's no arguments over it. Well, there was no markings on these sheep. Three different shepherds, three different flocks, all came into one pen. Out of confusion, it was like, oh, what's going on? Well, then all of a sudden, you know, after they were fed and different things or watered, whatever we were doing there, everything was done. It was like, wow, what's going to take place? How are they ever going to get these separated? So you had to watch a little longer and watch what was going on. And then all of a sudden, the first shepherd comes out, opens the pen, and he begins to speak out and starts to walk away. And the only ones that came out were his sheep. And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty interesting. I'm like, how are they going to separate these? Then the next shepherd came out, and he starts to open, he gets the gate open again, and he turns around, he calls out, and he starts speaking. That's it. And he starts walking in the opposite direction. And what happens? All his flock come and follow him. My sheep know my voice. In a culture that we live in today, we're all looking for superstars, chasing this way, chasing that way. We have our superstar, and his name is Jesus. My sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? Do you hear his voice? I would say to you, everyone does. Sometimes we just don't understand it. We connect it to Lady Luck. We connect it to coincidence or other things, but God is on the move, and he's speaking all the time. Billy Graham made a statement, and I'm not sure if I should read this statement out, and that because it saddens me a little bit, but it's a true statement. He says 95% of our church's activities today would continue if the Holy Spirit was removed from us. In the early church, 95% of all of the activities would have ceased and stopped immediately if Holy Spirit was removed. You see, we can't do this. Otherwise, we're just a club unless Holy Spirit is leading us. We need Holy Spirit so desperately to be speaking to us, to lead us and to guide us, because it's not about just doing some good things. It's about being in the right place at the right time with the right abilities. And that's called the power of God that he pours into our life as we open our hearts towards the Lord. Most people believe in the Trinity, and when they believe in the Trinity, they believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Scriptures. Some are getting it, right? But that's how people believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Scriptures, because Holy Spirit scares them. He might ask me to do something. He might ask me to go to Alaska. Heaven forbid, as a kid, I was always told, don't ever tell God you don't want to go somewhere. Because if you say, I don't want to go there, he's going to make you go. Listen to me. God's not that way. He's a good father. And if God is wanting you to go there and you're like, oh, I don't want to, he probably planted the seed inside of you about the idea of going somewheres, and then the devil's just trying to turn it on you and make it out as something bad. But if God asks something of you, there's always a purpose for it, whether you see it or you don't see it. I remember being in one church, and we're up in worship, Dave, and thank you for leading worship today, and that as just the worship leader was leading us in the presence of God, the piano at that church just happened to have a little pit that it was dropped in, so it wasn't so high up. Piano player, he was a little larger than me, and he was playing away on the piano, and all of a sudden, God spoke into his heart, I want you to get off the piano and climb underneath the piano. I mean, that would be pretty hard right now for some of us, but when it's in a pit and it's narrow, it was kind of funny looking. And so in the middle of worship, he's the main player. He gets off the piano, tells everyone, just keep going. He gets underneath and says, oh God, I don't know why you asked me to get under here, but God, I'm just being faithful and I'm underneath here and I'm just, God, would you ever do whatever you need to do so I can get out of here? No, I'm joking. He didn't say so I can get out of there. Soon as he got underneath the piano, I kid you not, we're in the middle of worship. A man jumped up from the back seat, ran to the front, crying out to God, jumped on his knees, and he gave his heart to the Lord. I mean, he was one of the harder ones to reach, we would call. Just hardening the heart, kind of, you know, a little attacking back. And that as you would talk and minister, he's still serving the Lord with everything inside of him today. And that's now 19, 20 years ago. As he ran up to the front, he cried out afterwards. I said, hey, what was going on? You know, like, what was God doing in your heart or speaking? He says, I came on a desperation. I was so desperate because things were getting so bad around me and that I'd been taunted in my mind and all sorts of things. He was listening off. He said, but I said, God, if you're truly real, as he walked in the doors, he's looking around. He says, before I sat down, he's looking. He says, I saw that big man on the piano. And he says, God, if you're real, cause that big man to get under the piano and I'll know that. Right? You never know. But I want to say this. It might feel embarrassing when God asks you to do something, but that's only because your flesh is trying to hold back. But if you pause for a moment and just take a deep breath, you'll realize your spirit is willing, and you'll find that every one of us can be used by God. Every one of us can hear him, whether it's something crazy like that or something simple like blue socks, as long as we hear his voice. But it's not Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is amazing. He's my best friend. I don't know how I would do life. I don't know how I'd be a husband or how I'd be a father without Holy Spirit, because I mess up all the time. You know, I don't know how I would pastor, because everything inside of me screams inside when I stand in front of people, because I'm the one that likes to sit by myself, be off to the side. I don't like to be in front. But Holy Spirit's my best friend, and he helps me every day to be able to do what he's asked me to do. And whatever he's asked you to do, Holy Spirit will help you and he will equip you. He says, whom I call, I will equip. Not only is it God's word, Holy Spirit, but there's the audible voice. Let me just ask a simple question. Has anyone heard an audible voice where God has spoken audibly to you? And that usually in churches, there's at least two or three that have. And you see one, two, and that there's a few that have had their three, has heard the audible voice. Listen to me. It's one of the ways. It's not the way. And that is one of them. It's kind of like angels. We're going to talk about that's another way that God reveals himself, through dreams, visions, through angels. I've been saved like my entire life, and I've asked God multiple times, God, would you reveal an angel to me? And I haven't seen one yet. But that doesn't mean that they're not true. Right? You see, just because you haven't doesn't mean no one else has. And one of the ways that God reveals himself is through an audible voice. 1 Samuel 3, verse 4 and 5, we have the whole story of Samuel. And Samuel says, here I am. You know, I've heard those stories or the jokes back and forth is, you know what? You're not insane if you talk to yourself. You're just insane if you respond back, right? You know, to the voice that you're hearing. But in that part is that God, and that sometimes will speak to us in an audible voice. And if we open ourselves to say, God, you're big enough, you can do anything, then we begin to start to see things. We see Moses at the burning bush. God spoke in an audible voice. God still speaks today. In fact, in the Middle East, you know, where, you know, it's, oh my goodness, the Muslims or this or that or whatever. You know what? You know how many Muslims are turning to Christ? They're coming in the thousands in Iran. Coming in the thousands in some of these places that are so oppressed by religion. You see, Christianity can turn to religion just as much as anything else can. Amen? And God doesn't like that. It's about a relationship with him. But God is speaking in an audible voice, just like he did and that to Paul, and that when he knocked him off his horse and says, why are you persecuting me? And he spoke an audible voice to him. And that God is speaking in an audible voice all over, and he still does today. Despite being shunned and possible death as a Muslim in a Middle East country, for them to turn to Jesus, it's not like you and I, oh yeah, we'll give him a try, whatever. You know, you might get a little laugh or a joke, oh, you're going to do that religious thing. But in other parts of the world, they need to know he's real. Because if they don't know he's real, they're going to lose their family. They might lose their job, or they might lose their life. I don't know about you. Maybe you and I aren't quite in that position, but I am still just as desperate to hear his voice and to know he's real. God's wanting to reveal himself to you and to me all the time. John 14, 21, 22 says, He who has commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. God is continually revealing himself to us, and he's speaking into our lives, and sometimes he's really got to get our attention. Remember Joshua? Three times he had to say, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Hello, Joshua, be bold, be strong. It wasn't because he didn't think that Joshua had two ears. It's because he needed to hear it here. And God will do some different things sometimes to get past what we would hear in our ears to get into our heart, because that's where it needs to be. Angels, visions, and dreams are the fourth way. We see in Genesis 15 and Genesis 16, Genesis 28, and Genesis 15, 1, it says, after this, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. We know Daniel fasted for 21 days. At the end of 21 days, God sends the angel Gabriel to him, or at least that's when he saw him. And then he realizes, wait a minute here, as Gabriel says, hey, the very first time you prayed, God dispatched me. But the war in the heaven was big. I had to go and get the archangel Michael to come and fight the way through. And that's so that I could get the answer to you, because the enemy was really trying hard to stop this. That's where we get the picture of the persistent widow. Sometimes we quit too early. right? Sometimes we just quit too early, and God's wanting us to press in and to fight in. If it was important enough to pray the first time, it's important enough to pray the second and third time, to press in for that answer. We just need to be ready for the answer that he gives. It might not be the one that we like, but that we would open ourselves. Relational accountability is another way he speaks. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. It's good to be vulnerable and to connect. If this section here doesn't know anyone in this section, well, guess what? I encourage you to open yourself, because the Bible says when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. You might not know why until you connect to the body and realize why. Oh, so-and-so is going through a tough time. Man, you know what? I've got time, or I've got ability. I can help them. And when we begin to lift each other up and we begin to submit one to another and say, hey, man, I'm really struggling. And that, do you think you could pray for me, Tony? You know, I'm struggling with it. And then all of a sudden we start connecting to one another. Then all of a sudden we start to see, wow, God, you're speaking. And you can speak through different ones. I remember in that a season where my daughter, one of my daughters, she would come to me and God was just really revealing herself to her. And as I'm speaking, all of a sudden she'd run up with a picture to me or run up with a few words. And all of a sudden she put it in front of me, and all of a sudden this would jump off the page to me, and I felt like God was saying, right now. I'd stop and we'd start to talk about whatever it was, or I'd share the little picture. And all of a sudden, someone would turn around, wow, that's for me. That's for me. God is always speaking. And he chooses to use it through dreams, visions, angels, through relational accountability, through prayer. Let me finish up. I got a minute and a half. Through prayer, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let me just break that down really quick. That part of righteous, there's no one in this room that's righteous. Every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God, the Word of God tells us. And apart from what Jesus Christ did for us, we have no access. But what Jesus really did to us is he turned around and he took his righteousness, his cloak of righteousness, and it says, the Bible says, as if he turned around and he put it on. Man, you look sharp in this, buddy. And he clothes us with his righteousness. Now you're Pastor Phil, now you can carry an extra set of keys. And he clothes us with his righteousness. And he says, now you're right. You see, when you stand before the Father, God doesn't turn around and say, oh, I look at you. Oh, I see Phil. Because when he says Phil, he can see all my shortcomings. But when he looks at you and he looks at me, he says, all he sees is his son. Ah, he's marked by Jesus. He's covered in the blood. He's my son. You see, Jesus is more than just a token. He's everything. And as we open our hearts to the Lord, we begin to see his prayer. Prayer is not just saying, God, I need, but it's, God, what are you doing? Because that's what I want to do. Where are you at? Because that's where I want to be at. What are you saying? Because that's what I want to say. How do we know what to say? How do we know where to be? Unless we take the time before the Lord and we allow him to speak. I've heard it said in conversation, if you really want to have a good relationship with people, the Bible says he's given us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen twice as much as you speak. Why is it that we come into the greatest relationship ever and all we do is this? We never give God any chance to speak. And that, let's come into this part of this season of what God's leading us into and say, God, what are you speaking? What do you have? What are you saying? And allow him to begin to speak to our hearts. Allow him to begin to gel us together as family. Allow him to begin to reveal himself so that we will know what he has. He also speaks through authority figures. Romans 13, 1-3, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, to the words of knowledge, to prophecy, to circumstances. Sometimes God reveals himself in different circumstances over and over again, and that he'll use those things to reveal himself. Why? Because God is on the move. God is on the move. He is speaking. May expectancy rise in your heart and my heart once again. He's not the God of 10 years ago. He's not the God of 50 years ago. He's the God of today. and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you might say, well, yeah, I haven't really heard much or I haven't seen much in the last little while. I want to encourage you and I want to speak into your heart and that God is on the move. And that not just in a foreign land, but right here in Owen Sound. I don't know how many people I've walked and come in contact in Owen Sound. And the moment I say, oh, yes, I'm the new pastor at Rockcliffe. Oh, I know Rockcliffe. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. We just need to be able to hear his voice. Amen? And that we just need to be able to hear his voice so that we can be there at the right time, at the right place for the right person. Amen? God is on the move. And he's wanting to reveal himself. And he's wanting to speak. And he's saying, my sheep know my voice. So whether you're here today and you've been saved for 50 years, or you're here today and this is your first time of hearing God or connecting with him, we all can hear his voice. He makes it a ground zero. He brings us back to that one place. God is wanting to speak to you. He's wanting to reveal himself. So this week, and that in the name of Jesus Christ, I release dreams. I release visions. God, I release, Lord, your word to come alive again in our hearts in such a new way. Will you just cause things to jump off the page at us, Lord? God, would you just begin to wake us up in the middle of the night, God, Lord, and speak things into our heart? God, that when we get out of bed and we put our feet on the ground and we say, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Would you begin to flood us with your agenda for the day? Lord, instead of us telling you our agenda, may we stop and listen and allow you to speak into our heart. God, may we give in to those promptings in our heart, Lord, as you begin to prompt us to, hey, go over and talk to that person. Hey, go over and bless your neighbor. You heard they were sick, go do this. And Lord, may we begin to open our heart. And as we do that, may we begin to understand that we can be in this rhythm called grace. And we can move with you in a greater way than we've ever done before. Lord, no one left behind. Lord, I pray. God, I just thank you, Lord, for him that is in the ear. Let me hear what the Spirit is saying. And Holy Spirit, you're saying a whole lot. And so, Lord, I just thank you for new ears right now. God, I thank you that our yesterdays are gone and today is a new day. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we embrace this new season of the Jewish calendar, of Rockcliffe, of our own life, as we begin to embrace the new season, Lord, may it be one marked by your word and marked by you, Holy Spirit, speaking to our heart and us just saying, like Samuel, here I am. If you can use anyone, here I am. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every one. I bless them, Lord, as we go and have fellowship in a moment, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that we'll ever have our ears open to what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God loves you very much, and he's longing for you and I just to say yes to him. What do you have for us today? In Jesus' name.